Be very grateful if you could take the Bibles from in front of you and turn, please, to Romans chapter 12. You'll find that on page 152, in the second section, the New Testament section of the Bibles there. Now, regulars will know that we're looking at the whole of Romans 12 on these Sunday evenings. It's the series which we've called Play Your Part. The overall theme is service and commitment, and we've taken up the dominant thought behind Romans 12, that every single person in the church really matters. Each one of us has an essential part that we can play. So we're looking in detail to find out exactly what Paul says about playing your part, and we're taking it verse by verse through Romans 12, coming tonight then to verse 13. We're on page 152. Okay, will you look with me now in this chapter at the short passage that we've come to this evening? It's just one verse, verse 13. If you can find that, I'll read the passage to you. Romans 12, 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Good. Well, I'd like to say this by way of introduction. The subject, as you see, is Christian giving. Now, the mention of a subject like giving raises, I guess, a number of different reactions within us. Certainly one reaction, and very understandable too, is an inward one, a kind of inner weariness. A voice inside of me sighs sadly, and perhaps with a hint of annoyance, at the first mention of the subject, oh no, they're after my money again. Well, you may find yourself fighting against it. I certainly do when I hear about the subject of giving. So perhaps you felt that. Now, remember this, whatever the reality of our Christian commitment, we do sometimes find ourselves inwardly resisting the whole idea of giving, and it's just the way we feel. We have to be realistic. There are many of us here who have feelings like that, and none of us are condemned by the way we feel, the reactions which simply bubble up from inside of us. There's more to say about it, I'll come back to that point later on. Now, a second reaction might be like this, perhaps a more pragmatic one. Here I am on a grant or a low income. I may not even be working at all. Quite honestly, when I've met my outgoings, there's hardly anything left to play with. I can't afford it. That's a perfectly reasonable reaction too. It's the case of simple arithmetic. Yet a further reaction may be, yes, I do give, but quite honestly, deep down, I'd be very glad to be able to use the money for something else. There's a kind of reluctance within me to give. Again, it's understandable. We must be honest about the way we feel about things. So, maybe like me, you've felt or are feeling something like this about the issue of giving. You don't need to feel terrible or a failure or a Scrooge if you happen to inwardly react something like this. Feelings are one thing. But of course there are other factors that we have to take into account. So may I at the same time encourage you to listen carefully to what the Apostle Paul has to say on the subject, because he is clearly in touch with the way the people feel, and on the other hand, he's equally in touch with the practicalities of their lives. So what he has to say here in Romans 12, when we see it in context, has a quite remarkably transforming effect upon the way it's possible to see the whole issue of Christian giving. For in the end, it matters just how we see the issue. You see, there are two possible scenarios. Is Christian giving mainly to do with simple appeals for worthy causes, like any secular charitable good work? Or is Christian giving, by contrast, designed to be a welcome and essential part of the whole package of Christian living? Can you see that our whole view of giving, the way we see it biblically, is going to make all the difference in terms of our inner reactions and consequently our actual practice? So, Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Let's dig down deep beneath the surface of what Paul has to say. And there are three areas that I want you to look out for. And the first issue I'd like us to draw out from Paul's thinking is this. Christian giving is a response. That's the first heading. Christian giving is a response. I'd like to tell you about a small problem I personally have about giving. It's got nothing to do with the church as such. It's actually to do with tipping. It's to do with tipping taxi drivers. The taxi drivers here are going to have to forgive me if you're listening behind the pillars. As it happens, I don't drive around in taxis very often, but I do admire taxis, or taxi drivers themselves. I admire them for their skill. I admire them for their friendliness. But that said, I think many people would really much prefer it if the tip were included in the fare. It seems to me slightly odd, almost being required to tip, rather than it being a genuine response to some special service. Now, don't worry if you don't agree. It's really an excuse to tell you a story. It was mildly embarrassing. It was quite funny, actually. It happened at the beginning of the year. Many of you remember Roger Simpson. Who of you remembers Roger Simpson? Put your hand up. You all remember Roger Simpson, and most of you. Well, Roger was on the staff here up to just recently, those of you who are new. And Roger's personality, as most of you know, is incredibly, I suppose the word for it is disarming. Now, I promise you, I phoned Roger up last Thursday, and I've got his permission to tell you this story. And by the way, he sends you his love as well. Anyway, Roger and I were in a taxi together one Tuesday evening after the prayer gathering back in January, and we were travelling down to Westminster. And as we were driving down towards the Houses of Parliament, this whole question of tipping came up in our conversation. So Roger said, and I thought this was quite generous at the time, he said, "It's okay, we'll go halves on the fare, but leave the tip to me." Well, it sounded great, but I hadn't actually twigged at the time what he was on about. Simpson seemed to be in expansive mood. He was very confident. He'd just come back from a mission. So, you remember, taxi driver drops us off in Great Castle Street in Westminster, and Roger climbs out. Now, he pays the fare, and standing there in his cord trousers, his bomber jacket, masses of incredibly curly hair, looking as charming and friendly as ever, Roger says to the taxi driver, "Hope you don't mind if we don't give you a tip. We're just Church of England clergymen." I tell you the truth. But I reckon it must be the best excuse ever. The nature of giving in general is that it always should be a response. And Christian giving especially should be a response of gratitude, and a response of gratitude to God. We see that point made clearly when we take into account the context of this verse 13. And I would suggest to you that the main focus of the context is found back in verse 1 of chapter 12. So maybe you'd like to look at it, and I'll read the verse to you. Verse 1 of chapter 12. "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, some of you will remember that we went through this in detail back in September, at the beginning of the series, but let me remind you of just one simple thought. The basis of Paul's whole appeal for the offering of ourselves in service and commitment is our response of gratitude to the mercies of God. And by the mercies of God, he clearly means the salvation that he's been outlining in the previous 11 chapters of this letter to the Romans. So, can you see this? Can you see that the injunction towards giving in verse 13 depends on our response of gratitude to what God has done for us in Christ, described for us in verse 1? Now, to help us think about the nature of this response, I've got a question for us to consider, and I want us to consider it, and then I'll perhaps try and help you with the answer as well. The question is this. I'm speaking to those of you who are clearly and definitely committed Christians. How much, at the moment, do you really value what Christ has done for you personally? How grateful do you feel about the salvation you've been given and the way that God has manifested his presence in your life? That's the question. Now, I know that in some ways, actually, that's quite a difficult question to answer, because feelings are unreliable. They tend to sort of bob up and down for all kinds of reasons. But it's still an important question to ask because of this equation. Let me describe the equation to you. In any church, to the extent that its members genuinely value their salvation in Christ, what Paul calls the mercies of God, so will be the extent of their involvement and commitment and service in the church. Spiritual activity depends on our personal and corporate spiritual temperature. Any genuine activity of Christian service is a response of gratitude to Jesus Christ. So this question, are you grateful? If you are, then there's a consequence. You will respond. It's the natural reaction. So, can you see? When it comes to giving, we don't make appeals for money, pure and simple. We ask each other first to respond to God's mercies, to be grateful and express that gratitude in action. And that motivation makes all the difference. It gives our natural reactions, our feelings, something more tangible to consider, especially when we're feeling reluctant. It shows us that there is something we genuinely want to do, to respond to the goodness of God. So, that was under the first heading. Christian giving is a response of gratitude. We've seen that the context of this verse fills out the meaning of what is being said here. Now, let's look at two further aspects concerning giving, moving from the context to the content of verse 13 itself. So, the second issue, Christian giving is our responsibility towards the church. And this is in the first part of verse 13, Paul's words, contribute to the needs of the saints. Now, I don't think I need to remind you in some senses, that the word saints in the New Testament means ordinary Christian people, not stained glass windows. Paul uses the word saints to mean all Christian people, not a select inner cabinet of winged wonders. So, Noel is a saint, and Richard is a saint, and June is a saint, and Kim is a saint, Godfrey is a saint. Saint Godfrey sounds good, doesn't it? I'm a saint, you're saints. Now, that should make us feel better, shouldn't it? We are the church. Saints are all Christian people. And as part of God's people, we're asked to contribute to the needs of the saints. The saints are us, the church. And our first responsibility in giving as Christians is to the saints, to the church. All right, why should that be? I like to put this in personal terms. The ministry here at All Souls has made an immense amount of difference to Claire and I personally since we've been in London, both as members of the ministry team here and also as members of the wider church family. The impact of the teaching and the worship and the fellowship and many other aspects of what goes on here at All Souls has made a tremendous difference to our spiritual lives, as well as our happiness and our sense of purpose as Christians. I'm sure it's the same for many of you as well. I know that many of you have found Christ through this church. Many of you have been given new direction and insight through training and opportunities for service. Many of you have been helped personally when you faced hurdles and difficulties. And many of you have found real friendship as well. We certainly have. So don't you agree that all this is really worth contributing to? Because it's God's work and it deeply affects people's lives. Contribute to the needs of the saints, Paul says. We contribute out of gratitude, but we also contribute because it is our responsibility to do so. You see, nobody else is responsible for us except ourselves, which I suppose is as it should be. Nothing has changed since first century times. There are no government grants, no council subsidies for maintaining our ministry in general. So how can we maintain this ministry and more than that, actually extend it and put what Paul says into action? First, let's be realistic about what is involved actually here at All Souls in this very church. Take the Watergrave Hall alone. When you go down to have your cup of coffee afterwards, do be aware of the privilege of having a facility like this and what it means for the effectiveness of our ministry. Maybe I ought to fill you in with a few practical details as well. Do you know the running costs of the Watergrave Hall? Well, perhaps I ought to tell you. It works out to something like £60 per day. The actual figure is £416 per week. Now, that adds up to quite a sum, something of the order of £21,000 per year. You have to think about that. Those of you who, like me, value being in, say, support groups on Mondays, newcomers group, prayer gathering on Tuesdays, core year on Thursdays, all these activities in the hall, many other activities as well. The Waldegrave Hall offers us an amazing ministry, but it costs a lot of money, because this is the West End of London, and there are terrifically deep needs here and great opportunities too, but the costs are terrifically high simply for our basic housekeeping and helping people in the way that we do. Now, just while we're dealing with figures, somebody was asking how much the total ministry of All Souls and the Clubhouse included actually costs us. That's basically what we have to pay out from the income we put onto the collection plate just now. We have no other significant source of income other than what you put on the plate, direct giving. Well, this year, the total sum that we have to find to finance the ministry will be around £333,000. £333,000. That's simply to keep the thing going. That's salaries and services and general maintenance only. It doesn't include the renovating of the outside of the church building, which we have to start this year. That's a completely separate issue. So £333,000. The sum it costs for you and I to be in church today and throughout the year works out proportionally in these terms. All Souls' running costs are £1,000 per day. That's roughly £42 per hour through the day and night. For those of you who like to time sermons, All Souls cost just 70 pence per minute. I suppose that's a novel reason for keeping them short. Maybe you'd like it in slightly more digestible terms. Our running costs for the year are the equivalent to the retail purchase of 2,147,059 Mars bars per year. There's something for you to chew on. Sorry. So you see, that's what it costs. That's what it costs simply to keep the services and other aspects of the ministry going. And it doesn't include the money we want to give away. Now, you probably know that at present we're giving away, on top of all that, to world need and to our missionary support, something in the order of £1,000 per week. Now, you may think that that sounds a lot, but quite honestly, it's not really enough to realistically support the kinds of projects a church of our size ought to be involved in. And I'm sorry that there's only time simply to mention the very important issue of missionary support and the way we need, in fact, to increase it quite dramatically. So can you see from this rather simple breakdown of what our work here actually costs, your part really does matter. We can only keep this ministry going if we all pull together. Now, some people ask practically how much they should give and how. Before I go into that, I'd like us to be clear about some other biblical principles and fill out Paul's teaching in a little more detail by something he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You might like to just turn the page to it. It's page 173, the passage which Jim Morgan read to us. I want to read you verses 6 to 8 of 2 Corinthians 9. It's page 173. And once again, Paul's subject is Christian giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Paul says this. The point is this. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. Michael Bourne, who used to be rector here, often used to point out that the pocket is the last part of us to get converted. I think that's true. I thought about it many times. I think it's something to do with our sense of security and the fact that it is a natural reaction to equate the possession of money with security. Think about that. But don't you think it's true that it's only when we are prepared to genuinely trust God with our finances that we're putting our real security in him? And when that happens, of course, what Paul says in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9 comes into force. You see, there's a promise there. And the promise is this. It says, you will always have enough, and there will be abundant provision for every good work when you trust God actively with your finances. But the converse is true. See, those who sow sparingly, I'm afraid, reap sparingly. The converse of that, those who sow bountifully, yes, they reap bountifully. That's the nature of the promise, and it's a spiritual principle. So with that kind of spiritual principle under our belts, now we can talk about practicalities. Now, when we talk about practicalities, there are no rules as such, only this response of gratitude and a serious appreciation of our responsibility. I expect that you know about the Old Testament standard for giving of the tithe. It means giving a tenth of your income. That tithe principle, or a tenth, still does apply. But it's rather as a guideline rather than a strict rule. If you'd like to look it up later, you'll see from Matthew 23, verse 23, Jesus clearly underlines and endorses the principle of the tithe, but he equally broadens out the idea of generosity in giving. So that the giving of a tenth of our income does apply, but if anything, we are meant to exceed it. Now, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed if you've never considered tithing, because this is certainly something we can work up to slowly and without feeling pressurized. It's both a question, on the one hand, of trusting God, and also of planning. Planning to do with bringing your finances, as with every other realm of life, into line with God's best purposes for you. And I can guarantee that if you do that, you'll find a liberty over financial concerns that you will have never thought possible. And there are many people I know here this evening who know from experience just how true that is. So you can give in this way. Of course, it needs thought, it needs prayer, it needs planning, and of course it's going to equally need reorganization. But you can build up to this whole question of a tenth and take it slowly. But do you see that if you're giving out of gratitude, the promise is you will always have enough. And it's that attitude of faith in God and his promises which really matters and makes the difference. It applies just as much to students who are on grants, those who are on low fixed incomes, those who are not working at all, just as much as to those with hefty salary checks rolling in at the end of the month. You see, we have a fundamental worry, don't we? We have a fundamental worry that we cannot afford it or will miss out on something as a consequence. But giving out of gratitude means that simply will not apply, because you're dealing with God, God who loves you, and he has got the real resources at his disposal. You can afford it if you are prepared to trust God actively. All this is contained in the injunction, contribute to the needs of the saints. We do have a responsibility to the church. Many of us here use the envelopes for planning our giving. We can covenant our giving. That means if you pay income tax, the Chancellor of the Exchequer will contribute to the needs of the saints as well. And he'll contribute to the tune of 42% over and above what you give yourself, which is really worth thinking about if you do pay tax and haven't considered covenanting yet. In practical terms, if you want to know more about covenants and giving in general, Rob Cook and Malcolm Edge, who are our financial wizards on the staff, will be pleased to answer any of our questions. And you can always phone Rob or Malcolm during office hours if you'd like to do that. If you have queries, I know Rob is here tonight, and you can speak to him if you want to. They're both very helpful chaps. They'd love to speak to you. Right, well, there's one final issue which we ought to look at before we leave this passage. And could you turn back to page 152 and find Romans 12 again? I'm going to look at the second part of verse 13 before we close. Page 152. Second part of verse 13, just two words. Practice hospitality. Third heading then, Christian giving means, in the widest sense, the opening up of our lives to others. Giving is wider than just money. You'll see that again if you look up later Jesus' words in Matthew 23:23. One of the ways we respond in gratitude to God is to open up our lives to others. And that's what Paul means by practice hospitality. It means opening our homes, giving our time, offering our friendship to others. Here are some practical examples relating to hospitality. At present, we need 15 more homes in the West End of London to be available for fellowship groups. That is, if we're going to respond to the present demand from newcomers for fellowship group places in this area. Then there are many students who would love to be invited into a family or a flat for a Sunday lunch or tea just to get out of their hall of residence. Then there are many lonely people in this church, some of them from overseas, who need befriending, very nice people who would so much like the opportunity to visit someone else's home, simply to feel that they matter to someone else here in this most impersonal capital city of London. Practice hospitality, says Paul. Christian giving means just as much the giving of money, the opening up of our lives to others. And if we say that our lives are open to Christ, then maybe we should ask why there are so many lonely people in this place. I find it personally a strange contradiction. Let me summarize. Christian giving is a response of gratitude to God. Christian giving is our responsibility towards the church. Christian giving means, in the widest sense, the opening up of our lives to others. Perhaps I can say this in conclusion. The thrust of this whole chapter in Romans 12, and this verse 13 in particular, is this. Your part matters. You bet it does. But the final question is, will you play your part? You know, all the giving in this church is completely confidential. Even if you sign a check or a covenant, no one knows who gives what, with the single exception of the bookkeeper, and his lips are completely sealed. Not even Richard or the church wardens know any details at all. So, if you are not going to play your part, don't worry. No one will know. Even if you are one of the 20 or so people who place a sealed but empty envelope onto the plate each week, no one knows who you are. But your part still matters. And if you don't play your part, just pause and ask yourself this. What do you think will happen eventually to our ministry here? Here then is something to consider. We cannot in this church live on the fat of the past. There has been some extremely committed, responsible giving from many people in past years out of sheer love and gratitude to Christ. It's giving which has enabled the ministry of All Souls to steam ahead, and we've all of us here benefited enormously from it. But let's bring the issue down to purely personal terms, right here in the present. What about you? Would you take this responsibility to heart in a new way and give to God as a response of gratitude? That is all that is asked of any of us. In Paul's words, will you contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality? Because you and I are the church. You are one of those saints, and giving is one important indication of where you are really at spiritually. So, if you don't play your part in this very important strategic question of Christian giving, it's true, we won't know who you are. No one will know. But I have to tell you this. Eventually, I promise you, we will all see the effect of it. Let's pray.